In a surprise announcement, the government has revealed plans to scrap so-called no-fault evictions under Section 21 of the Housing Act 1988. The proposal is the latest in a raft of measures put under consultation in a bid to solve perceived problems in the residential leasehold arena, many of which promise to make life better for tenants, but potentially more complicated for landlords. Section 21 has been described by the government as one of the leading causes of family homelessness. And I am joined today by Jeremy Stephen, Associate Director at Brian Cave Leighton Paisner LLP, to discuss the proposed changes in the law that the government is set to consult on. Jeremy, welcome. Thank you again to our studio. Could you outline how Section 21 operates and what the proposed changes are?
Yeah. So at the moment, what Section 21 does, and it applies to assured short-hold tenancies, which will cover the vast majority of private residential tenancies, and it is the provision that allows for the landlord to bring that tenancy to an end. So an assured short-hold tenancy always has a fixed minimum term of 6 months, yep, during which it can't be terminated. But after that, once you've come to the end of the fixed contractual term, a landlord can serve 2 months' notice with a Section 21 notice, bring the tenancy to an end, and that is it. Crucially, the landlord has to give no reasons whatsoever for terminating tenancy. It can just do so. And more to the point, it has available to it, or him or her, a fast-track process through the courts to get a possession order on paper without a hearing, provided it's jumped through all the hoops and served the notice in the correct way.
So how would you sum up the reasons that the government are not happy with the situation and are taking action on that? Right.
Well, I'll wear my cynical litigator's hat for a minute. At the moment, I think this is a lot more about politics than it is about policy. Section 21 is certainly unpopular amongst the tenant communities, yeah, and amongst those involved in, you know, shelter and things like that, the sort of homelessness and housing bodies. But it's the proposals are a little bit light on detail, but very heavy on headline. And it's quite tempting to see this as, can we get a positive headline that's anything not to do with Brexit? but let's pass it on, because I think this is going to happen. There's been great pressure to look at this issue of so-called no-fault evictions. Mm-hmm. There are stats that have been put out there that would seek to show that recorded family homelessness has risen more or less in line with the amount of times and opportunities that this that tenancies have been brought to an end through Section 21. So it is possible to make that link. Landlord bodies would disagree, but with all the pressure on housing as such a political hot topic, it's already a Labour policy to remove this provision. I think this was always coming. It is coming. What form it will take, we don't yet know, but I think we can be pretty sure this is going to happen.
So is there any sort of detail you can go into about what the proposals are?
Well, details, good point, because there isn't much. But broadly, they've talked about doing three things. Number one, they've said that they will end no-fault evictions. Mm. Presumably, that means that they're going to be significantly amending or either repealing Section 21 as a whole. The second thing they're going to do, so they say, is to amend Section 8 of the Housing Act, which is the section that allows to bring an end to a tenancy on a default ground, so arrears, damage to property, that sort of thing. And they say they're going to amend that to add in a ground for possession for if the landlord wants to move back into the home his or herself, or alternatively, if the landlord intends to sell the property. And the third thing they've promised to do is to, quote-unquote, expedite the court process without much details of what that actually means. I mean, this is interesting because it feels like a move towards the position under the 1954 Act. So there's more in common now, if this goes through, with the position for business tenancies than there is currently. Although that looks great on paper, and you can see the attractiveness, I'm just worried about lack of detail.
Well, it comes with its own problems with what you were saying about Section 8. Obviously, then you have the old problems that you have under the 54 Act with questions of intention and all that kind of thing.
I mean, who is going to police a landlord's intention to sell the property or move back in?
And how long will they have to move back in for?
How long will they have to move back in for? How will they monitor whether the property is sold, what evidence you're going to have to put before the court. I mean, we already know with the changes to Ground F in the 54 Act realm how much more complicated that is becoming. I mean, goodness gracious, bring that into the residential world.
Yeah, and then sort of increasing the number of disputes whilst trying to streamline the court process.
Yes, and there is, and there's just no detail around what that expedited court process is going to look like or how it's going to be operated. And we all know the county courts are stretched, as matters are. Is the bright idea to move things into the property tribunal? Well, that's already stretched with an increased workload as well. It's just, there's just no detail on what's going to happen there and how that's going to be made.
So I imagine it will have to be the subject of very extensive consultation to work out all of these details.
I would expect so. And what's been very interesting is that the reaction from the residential landlord community and the various associations that work in that area was pretty scathing. I mean, the National Landlords Association, their quote was, "We are lambasting these proposals." And what's interesting is the take they bring on it is to say, far from helping tenants, we think this may harm them, because we think this may in fact scare landlords out of the private rented sector. And I can see some force to that, because if you look at how the position for private rental landlords has changed even for the last 8 years or so. I mean, I remember when my wife and I first rented our first flat together, a good number of years ago now, and we went in, we signed our assured short-hold tenancy, and we were given our Section 21 notice right then and there, which we had to initial to show that we'd received it, and that was it. But since that time, we have the Deregulation Act in 2015, which added in a fair load of hurdles and other things you had to do at the start of an assured short-hold tenancy, which then became prerequisites to service of a Section 21 notice. You've then had the consultation, which has just finished, on looking at granting three-year leases or longer-term leases in the residential context. You've had the tax increases on buy-to-let mortgages. And the Resident Landlords Association is just saying, look, if you increase the squeeze, if you make it harder, even harder, for people to rent out their properties, people just aren't going to bother. And this supply, which they say is desperately needed, is just going to dry up.
So you've already mentioned that you're confident that the government will make this happen, that this change is coming. So what do you predict will be the likely impact on the leasehold arena if these changes are made? And will private landlords increasingly withdraw from the market?
Well, the most important things around this, which will really dictate how this changes, are what's missing. So we've already covered, we don't know what the detail about the expedited court process is going to be, and that certainly has been a lot of the chatter from the landlord groups has been, you've got to make that work first and prove to us first that it works before we can even contemplate getting behind these changes. But the big unanswered question here is rent control. And how and to what degree rent control sits in with this change. We know that it is an aspirational Labour policy to look at some level of rent control. And it seems to me, if you're going to have these, what the government's called open-ended tenancies, and to take that 54 Act analogy, at the moment there's no mechanism in the Housing Act for renewal, for statutory renewal of the tenancy. And to make it work, think that probably you have to try and have some sort of process like that in the residential market. Otherwise, how is the landlord going to control the increase or indeed the decrease of their rent? Now, if you have some sort of level of soft rent control, so for example, you permit RPI increases every 3 years or whatever, something like that, then I can imagine some residential landlords being happy with that. But if, let's say, it takes a more drastic route and you end up with a Labour government and maybe you do end up with some sort of express regulatory impact onto rent control, then I can see private residential landlords just thinking, you know what, is it worth it?
Yeah, is it just one more thing on top of sort of previous disincentives to be landlords in
this? Of course, the part of the whole point of the 88 Act was to make it easier for landlords to rent out their property, to incentivise them to do so and get away from the problems that did arise from the 77 Act and all the problems that incurred there with low rents, inability to get people out, stagnation, all those sorts of things. Looks like the pendulum is swinging back that way, and we'll just have to see how far it does swing that way.
And I know you have some opinions on this, but where do you think that build to rent fits into all this?
Well, I can see the build to rent providers looking at this and thinking, is there an opportunity for us here? Mm. Because the build to rent model, this idea of community space mm-hmm. and long-term residential living, well, that you can see how that fits well with this. Build to rent providers want long-term tenancy. Yeah. They want commitment. They want stability. You know, they want the ability to take someone who maybe joins them with a friend or as a single person, then they get a partner, and then they rent a different sort of property with that partner. Then maybe they start a family and they move on to a different property, all within the same provision. Yeah, that's the bread and butter. They can get that model to work. That's what they want to do. So the idea, or the theory of long-term tenancies, longer-term tenancies, open-ended tenancies with stable tenants and stable rent, that all very, very, very much fits with that. Mm. The challenge is going to be how the income works with that. And it's, again, why rent control, yeah. whatever, to what extent that comes in, will become so important. Because, again, some of the investment, particularly overseas investment into build to rent in this country, has been encouraged because of the Section 21 process and the flexibility of the assured short-hold tenancy. Mm. If that flexibility is reduced, does that make it less attractive for some of that investment? So I think the build-to-rent providers will be looking at this and saying, there's potentially a great opportunity here for, you know, for this to really be the catalyst that gets this already burgeoning sector really motoring. Because, of course, if the private landlord stock dries up, there's an opening there.
They've got to come from somewhere.
They've got to come from somewhere, exactly. But I think until we know the detail... Mm. It's all a bit up in the air. I do think it's going to happen. I wouldn't discourage you from writing your obituary for Section 21. I think it is going to go sooner or later. But as to how this actually pans out in the future, we're just going to have to wait to see the detail.
With the wider implications of that, and to enable that to happen successfully, then it sounds like it's going to require a fairly major legislative change.
Absolutely, and the housing legislation is such a political hot potato, and you know, with all the political uncertainty going on, a Labour government or a Tory government, it seems, will bring this forward. The flavour of it will probably depend on the political pressures that exist at that time. I mean, the consultation will likely be long, and the responses are going to be pretty diverse and produce pretty strong opinions from both ends of the market, both users and landlords. And then to plot the course of legislation like this through the legislative bodies at the moment, and who knows what space there'll be for this. Bear in mind all the things we're probably going to have to do with our parliamentary time over the next 5 years. But you know, it's coming. And it's right that landlords prepare for it, but they've got to make their voices heard in the consultation. But the two key things for me are, what's the court process going to look like, and what's the rental element of this going to look like? Once you put those two pieces in, and you see a clearer picture, we'll know where the market's going to head.
It is the latest in a raft of consultations in this arena over the last several months. I've heard it described only today as a cornucopia of consultations. I don't know whether that is the correct collective noun, but it would be very difficult to achieve. But it's really the answer to all this would a complete root and branch transformation of the legislative sphere in this area.
Well, I mean, that's another question. Do you rip up the Housing Act and start again? That could potentially be easier. Mm. But I think you've got to have your policy first. Mm. You've got to work out, right, what is our vision for housing in this country? If one thinks about the right to buy reform, you know, that was driven by a policy that said we want people to have a stake in society will want people to own their own home.
Yeah.
For various political reasons and ideological reasons behind that. With the, with the 54 Act and the Rent Act, this idea of security. Mm. People need to know where they stand. And we're probably heading back further into that direction. And those who want to see long-term, secure, residential leasehold tenure with controlled rent are going to have to figure out how they can create that supply. Because if government can't create it, the state can't create it, they've got to look to the private sector. And at the moment, that private rental stock is being provided by a very large number of private residential landlords. And if your policy doesn't consider how that stock is going to be maintained, then you can draft whatever you want, but if the houses aren't there, people can't rent them.
Do you think anyone in government has that clear vision for this?
That's a question as to whether the government currently has a clear vision on anything. And do you think they don't even have a clear vision on their principal policy on Brexit. So, I honestly don't know. I mean, pardon me for being cynical. I mean, I did think that was a pretty political act to put that out yesterday in the way they did. To be fair to them, it was front page news until about midday when the cathedral started burning down. But you don't get the sense of a discernible policy. Labour does at least seem to have a clear view that it wants long-term secure rental leasehold tenure for residential users. You could argue that this isn't something the Tory party's talked about for too much, and maybe this is just a reaction to that and they're trying to catch up. It is probably the way we're going, but nothing I saw in yesterday's statement suggests to me that there's a sufficient level of thought or policy behind what's being put forward to tell me what's the story. Where's the direction of travel here? What's the vision for residential leasehold tenure in this country?
And do you think it's dangerous to target things like Section 21 and other perceived problems without that clear vision behind it all?
The more you tinker with any piece of legislation, the harder it gets to make your meaning plain. The Housing Act has been fiddled with a number of times already. It's not the worst piece of legislation out there in the property world, but it's not the best either. It's interesting, chatting with a colleague yesterday, we were marvelling how good a piece of legislation the 1954 Act is. We were discussing a point which we hadn't come across before, and we got the Act out, and lo and behold, there was a subsection buried in somewhere. But there was years and years of work put into that Act to make it the thing which has stood the test of time. That piece of legislation works. And if they want to create a stable platform for residential leasehold tenure of this nature, then they've got to make sure the bedrock of the legislation works.
Strong and stable, perhaps.
Indeed.
Well, thank you very much for joining us today, Jeremy, to discuss this proposal. And I'm sure we'll speak again on the topic in the months to come.
Thank you very much.